The availability of raw materials can slow the manufacture of COVID vaccines. I'm David Brancaccio. Pfizer, which is currently awaiting approval for its COVID-19 vaccine that it says is 95% effective, had to cut in half the number of doses it expects to produce this year from 100 million to 50 million shots. Now the company says that's because it took longer than expected to scale up its supply chain. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra looked into this today. Mariel, what did Pfizer say it's up against?
So in order to make a vaccine, you need a bunch of raw materials, things like antivirus agents, different liquids like sterile water and syringes. And Pfizer buys those things from suppliers in the US and Europe, but it told Reuters that it just took longer to scale up the supply chain for those kinds of things than expected. And that's why it had to lower its projections for this year. And the Wall Street Journal reports that specifically, according to a person involved in the development of the Pfizer vaccine, some of the early shipments of raw materials didn't meet required standards.
Has Pfizer fixed that now?
Well, the company says it has ramped up its supply chain so it can meet its projections for next year, which is 1.3 billion doses worldwide. And this particular vaccine is distributed in 2 doses per person. So that means Pfizer will provide enough vaccines for 650 million people next year.
All right, Mariel, thank you. The Justice Department's Civil Rights Division is suing Facebook, claiming the company set up a hiring system that preferred workers from other countries who held H-1B visas over qualified U.S. workers. The government says it's referring to about 2,600 jobs that paid on average more than $150,000 a year. Facebook is saying it disputes the allegations but is cooperating with the investigation. Checking markets, the stock market. S&P and NASDAQ futures are each up about 0.4%. So is the Dow future, actually. It's up 120 points, 0.4%. The U.S. Bureau of Land Management plans to hold an oil and gas lease sale for Alaska's Arctic National Wildlife Refuge on January the 6th in the final days before Joe Biden, who opposes drilling in the region, takes office. Conservation groups criticized the announcement as rushed and based on environmental reviews that are being challenged in court. Alaska politicians say opening the area for exploration would boost oil production and create jobs. The BLM is expected to formally solicit bids in the next couple days.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
It's the first Friday of the month, right? Which means later this morning, we'll get the government reports on hiring and unemployment covering November, the 2020 jobs roller coaster, a collapse of the labor market during the lockdown spring, more hiring in the early to midsummer. But the pace of hiring has slowed summer into fall here. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
To get Americans back to work, there has to be more work for them to do. Payroll processing companies track this. They know from week to week whether employers are scheduling more workers for more shifts. And Dave Gilbertson at payroll processor UKG, which is a marketplace underwriter, says recently the trend's been going in the wrong direction.
We saw a consistent slowdown in workforce activity in the month of November.
Gilbertson says workforce activity, the number of employee work shifts, is being dragged down by rising COVID cases. He says typically what we see in November is
a really big buildup among retailers as they head into their busy season. We were missing retailers this year, and so I think that was felt among hourly employees across the country.
And it's employees of small businesses who are most at risk, says Gilbertson. Among companies with 100 or fewer employees,
10 to 11% of small companies that were around in March are no longer around. They're businesses that just couldn't wait it out long enough to survive in this kind of economy.
Fewer employers, less work to do. All that spells trouble for anyone looking for a job, says Jed Kalko at Indeed, another marketplace underwriter.
Look at job postings on our site. Postings are down about 12% below last year's trend. Since August, improvement has slowed down a lot.
Kalko says for some job categories that have done well in the pandemic, e-commerce delivery, and almost any work that can be done from home, job postings are back to pre-pandemic levels. But for service jobs in travel and leisure, arts and entertainment, postings are still down by half. Take it all together, and Bernie Baumol at the Economic Outlook Group says,
we're beginning to see the economy slow down in the fourth quarter. It looks even more concerning for the first quarter.
Baumol says the risk is growing the longer the economy goes without more federal aid for small businesses, state and local governments, and the unemployed.
We're going to be seeing more companies declare bankruptcy, more households in extreme financial crisis, more people being laid off, an even greater divide among income groups.
Low-income service workers have suffered the most job losses, Baumol says, and low-wage jobs have been the hardest to get back. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Southwest Airlines is moving closer to the first furloughs in its history. The airline is warning that nearly 7,000 employees could lose their jobs unless labor unions accept concessions to help Southwest cope with a sharp drop in travel during the pandemic. It's looking for pay cuts of around 10%. Labor markets, financial markets, workplace issues, innovation, and more. Listen for my colleague Kai Rizdahl, host of Marketplace, on many public radio stations later today or at marketplace.org. Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Alex Schroeder. Our engineers are Brian Allison and Jay Siebold. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.